Okay, so get this. Imagine a world, and I mean, this sounds crazy, but imagine a world where blindness, even the kind you're born with, could be gone. Like, over
Yeah.
history. Sounds nuts, right?
Got it.
But that's the kind of future Neuralink seems to be talking about with this whole blindsight thing, right? The news you sent about this blindsight implant, it's getting some kind of special notice from the FDA.
Right.
Which is wild. So we have to dive into this because we're talking about bringing back sight, even if someone's eyes, like the eyes themselves and the optic nerve are damaged.
Absolutely. We're going to break this down, but
Huge, right?
it's huge. But we got to ground this in reality a
Oh,
bit.
for sure, for sure.
Because the FDA giving something a breakthrough device designation, yeah, it's important, but it's not a done deal, right?
Yeah.
This isn't Neuralink getting a free pass or anything. It just means the FDA, they see the potential in blindsight to do something nobody else has figured out how to do.
Yeah.
And that's saying something.
So it's like cutting in line, but for a really, really important reason.
Yeah, you could put it that way.
So what is it about blindsight that made the FDA go, whoa, hold on, this needs to be moved up in the stack?
Well, the article you sent, you mentioned this, but it's the fact that blindsight could, and again, this is all potential, but it could bring back some level of sight, even if the eyes into the optic nerve are done. Kaput.
So we're talking about like total vision loss, and
Exactly.
they're saying, we might be able to do something here.
Potentially. And here's where it gets really wild.
Okay, lay it on me.
Neuralink's whole thing rides on one big if. The person's visual cortex needs to be okay. That's the part of your brain that actually makes sense of what your eyes are seeing, you know?
Right.
The idea is if they can send information straight to that part of the brain, they can skip the whole eye and optic nerve route entirely. Like, why bother fixing the antenna if you can beam the signal straight to the TV?
So instead of messing with like the biology of the eye, they're going straight for the control center.
That's the idea.
But then wouldn't seeing be totally different for someone using blindsight?
That's the million-dollar question, and honestly,
Yeah.
we just don't know yet.
Huh.
It could be that someone with blindsight wouldn't see the way we do, you know, with light bouncing off objects and
Right.
all that. Instead, their brain would be taking these electrical signals from the implant and be like, okay, this pattern means there's a chair there. Sort of like, I don't know if this makes sense, but like a computer turning code into pictures on a screen.
Yeah. No, I get that.
We're talking about the brain learning to see in a completely new way.
Which, okay, that brings us to what I think is the coolest or maybe craziest part of all of this. The article mentioned, you know, Elon Musk, Mr. Neuralink himself.
Of course.
He compared blindsight to, get this, Geordi LaForge's visor from Star Trek.
Oh, wow.
The thing that lets him see like way more than humans normally can.
Yeah.
So is that even remotely possible, or is that just Musk being Musk?
I gotta say, it's ambitious, even for him.
Right.
LaForge's visor is, let's be real, pure sci-fi, at least
That.
for now. But, and this is a big but, it shows just how mind-blowing this tech could be.
Oh, absolutely.
Even if we're nowhere near seeing infrared or ultraviolet or whatever, the fact that we're even considering recreating sight by talking to the brain, that's huge.
Totally. Okay, but let's not get ahead of ourselves, right? I mean, there's already some pretty wild tech out there for people who've lost some or all of their vision. Yeah, like retinal implants and actually, I'm not even sure what else.
Yeah, there's.
So how does blindsight fit into that? What makes this so different?
Well, you're right. This whole thing didn't just come out of nowhere. Blindsight is building on years and years, decades even, of research on vision and how to, you know, help people who've lost their sight.
So it's not like scientists just suddenly decided to ignore the eyes entirely.
Exactly. Like you mentioned, retinal implants, those are already doing some amazing things for people, right?
Right.
Especially those folks where it's the eye itself that's the problem, but the optic nerve is still working.
Okay, so those implants are working with the existing like biological pathways.
Right.
But blindsight is basically saying, to heck with all that, we're going straight to the source.
That's the gist, and that's what makes this so incredibly complex.
Because
Think about it, your eyes and those optic nerves, they're sending tons and tons of information to your brain constantly, super
wow.
fast. It's not just light and no light. It's shapes, colors, movement, how far away things are, everything.
Right, it's your whole visual experience.
And blindsight is saying we can recreate that, but not by fixing the eyes, by stimulating the brain directly. Imagine trying to, I don't know, recreate a song, but instead of playing the music, you're poking the part of the brain that hears.
Whoa, okay, that's a bit out there.
Right. You might get some sounds, but it's not going to be like Beethoven's Fifth, you know?
That analogy, that's really good, actually. So we're not just talking about getting the brain to see something. We're
Yeah.
talking about recreating what it's like to see.
Exactly. With all the
Oh.
detail, all the nuance, and that's a whole different ballgame.
It's like, what does that even look like in reality?
Well, that's the million-dollar question. Neuralink, they're, how do I put this? They're a bit hush-hush about their research.
They like their secrets.
They do. So we don't know exactly how far along they are with BlindSight.
Okay, so we're speculating a bit here.
Based on what we do know about brain-computer interfaces, they're probably still in the early phases, really early. We could be talking about, like, flashes of light, basic shapes, that sort of thing.
So even if they can get the brain to see a flash, teaching it that means door or person, that's.
Another hurdle entirely, because it's not just about making neurons fire, it's about the brain understanding what those signals mean. It's like learning a whole new language, but instead of words, it's like electrical pulses.
Okay, my brain is officially boggled. But putting aside the sheer how is this even possible of it all, we're talking about putting something in someone's brain, right? See, I have to imagine there are some downsides there.
Yeah, I mean, you're right. It's brain surgery. That's not like, getting your tonsils out. There's got to be some risk involved there. Absolutely. And we'd be doing a disservice if we didn't talk about that side of things. Anytime you're talking about putting something in the body, especially the brain, you've got to think about, well, infection. For one,
Right, of
the
course.
device could malfunction, your body could reject it, all kinds of
And
things.
with the brain, it's not like we have it all figured out. You know what I mean?
Exactly. We're still in the very early stages of understanding how the brain works. What something like BlindSight might mean 5, 10, 20 years down the line, that's still a big unknown.
It makes all this progress seem, I don't know, a little more complicated, right?
It's a balance, that's for sure.
Speaking of which, the article did mention that Neuralink is already looking for people for something they're calling a patient registry.
Right, the patient registry.
So what does that tell us? Are they like about to start testing this on people?
It's definitely a sign that they're getting ready for human trials,
Wow.
which is both, really exciting and also a little, I don't know, intense to think about.
I bet.
Because, I mean, moving from the lab to actual people, that's a huge jump.
For sure.
It means they looked at the risks and the potential benefits, and they think it's time to see what this thing can really do.
I can't even imagine. I don't know. What would that be like to be one of those first people to have this chance, even if it's just a chance, of seeing again?
It really makes you think about the human side of all of this, all this tech, all this research. But at the heart of it, it's about people. People who have lost something so fundamental to how we experience the world. The chance to get even a little bit of that back, to move around more freely, to see a loved one's face. It's powerful stuff.
It really is. Okay, so I know we've been talking about some pretty heavy stuff, but let's, just for a second, imagine. What if down the road, this BlindSight thing or something like it becomes like normal, like getting a LASIK or something? What does that world even look like?
It's a world full of possibilities, that's for sure. But it's also a world, and we have to be honest about this, a world with some big questions, ethical questions, questions about who gets access to this kind of technology. It's not just about the can we, but the should we.
That's a good point. It's not just about the science, is it? Not at all.
Okay, so big picture time for the folks listening, I don't know, what's the one thing you want them to take away from all of this?
I think the biggest takeaway is this. How we think about vision, how we approach vision loss, it's changing right in front of our eyes, really. And what we're seeing with BlindSight, it's just the tip of the iceberg. What comes next? That's up to all of us to figure out.
Wow, okay. Yeah, that's a pretty profound thought to leave people with. And on that note, I think we've definitely given our listeners a lot to think about today. But this conversation, it's not over. So to everyone listening, keep those questions coming, keep an open mind, and we'll be back soon with another deep dive.